Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Why don't you look with me in your Bibles today to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. This is a story that we read that happens after the crucifixion, when Jesus began to reveal himself after the resurrection to the world. And it says in John 20, 24 through 29, it says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" I love that. Jesus doesn't have a hard time getting into situations that we may not even want him in. He just pops up on us when he feels like it. Then, verse 27, he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." That's a word for somebody today. You may have had all kinds of doubts. You may have been wondering if God has forgotten about you. You may have wondered if God has forgotten about humanity. You may wonder why bad things happen to good people. I want you to hear me today. Stop doubting and believe. God will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Underline that. That is so important. "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen, yet have believed." If you're taking notes on this Easter Sunday of 2020, I've entitled the message this: the new normal. The new normal. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you for each and every person that has decided to tune in today, God, because before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew that this time would come. You knew where everybody would be. God, you have the world in the palm of your hands. You are in control. Doesn't matter what the media says, you're in control. So God, I pray that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. God, we love you. We praise you. And God, I pray for the one that needs to hear this word the most, no matter where they are in this world right now. I pray that they get a new revelation of who Jesus is. I pray that you would show up in their situation and they would know that Jesus is our Lord and our God. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Cool Church, I know it's Easter Sunday and I know you're at your house, but just do me this favor for the next 5 seconds. I want you to just give Jesus a shout of praise. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Counting. Come on, give him praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some of y'all never got up. you may go back to your bed. It's all good. Get ready. Let's get into this word. Today is interesting because it's Easter Sunday, but if I can be honest, it's probably not the Easter any of us imagined. I mean, we all thought that we'd be in somebody's church building. If you're a pastor like me, you expected to see a crowd like you'd never see before. And I know a lot of pastor friends of mine and myself, we were planning on having as many services as possible. I mean, I heard of people having anywhere from 3 services to 15 services. People were just going to do church nonstop. Why? Because we wanted as many people as possible to be able to hear the good news about Jesus. We just wanted to give some hope in this time. And, you know, like I said, people had their church outfits planned out. I know the OGs, they had their nine later gaiters ready. They had their 10 button suits ready. I know the OG church mamas had their hats that were so large they couldn't even fit on this camera now, because they wanted to walk into church and they wanted to stunt on everybody with their best Easter outfit. And maybe you're home right now, you threw that outfit on. Hey, kudos to you. We still gonna celebrate and look good for Jesus, because that's what we do. But if you think about it, man, none of this is what we thought it would be. The kids were waiting to see the Easter bunny. They were waiting to go on Easter egg hunts and things like that. But this is not the Easter that any of us planned for. It's definitely not the one that we've imagined, but it's the Easter that we are faced with. In these challenging times, we have to really understand that we're living in what we would all call now a new normal. And when I think about the challenges of this day, being a pastor, just trying to get the gospel out, trying to use technology, even when I think about how rough it is, it's still nothing in comparison to what the disciples had to face to get the gospel out. And I'm so thankful that we can live in a time where we can preach a gospel message and it gets amplified. It gets amplified through technology so that I could sit in an empty room and I can preach the gospel all over the world. And as I think about how different this Easter is, I always think about how change really affects us. You know, in this time of quarantine, all you got is a lot of time to think. And as I was thinking about Easter, I began to think of before the celebration really came of the disciples being excited about Jesus coming back. I started to think about what did they feel like right after he died when there was no hope. Could you imagine walking and talking with Jesus Christ for about 3 years of your life? And then all of a sudden, all your hopes, all your dreams. I mean, this was the coming Messiah, the one that said that he would tear the temple down and rebuild it in 3 days. The disciples had heard all these different messages and they thought that the government was going to be overthrown and that the Messiah was coming back for his people. They thought that's who Jesus was. But then they witnessed as the Roman government executed him on the cross. Could you imagine? Could you imagine their psyche? Could you imagine the trauma that they went through at that moment, believing that they were serving and walking and talking with a king, only to see that same man be crucified? The disciples in a moment had to adapt and they had to shift to a new normal. Let me ask you this question. You see, as I think about the disciples having to adjust and adapt to this new world of fear that they now had to live in, knowing that Jesus Christ was no more, I began to think, have you been adapting to this new normal? Have I been adapting to this new normal? Or am I embracing the fear that is being spewed on every outlet that I can possibly see? How have we been adapting to this new normal? See, if you're not careful, you're going to spend so much time wanting things to go back to the way that they were that you're not thanking God for the way that things are right now. And you say, I don't see the hope in right now, man. This virus, this pandemic has taken over the world. If you keep your eyes fixed and focused on what you used to have, you'll never appreciate what's in your hand right now. Can I tell you? No, I'm not thankful for the coronavirus, but I'm thankful for what it's done in me. It's allowed me to be home with my family. It's allowed me to spend more time with my wife as a husband. It's allowed me to spend more time with my daughter as a father. It has allowed me to focus on God's word like I have never focused on God's word before. It's allowed me to take care of myself better. I'm trying to get in the best shape of my life. Hashtag quarantine workout. I'm trying to be better. You see, I don't want things to go back to the way that they were. I want to come out of this thing being better than I was before I ever started. This gives you time to really focus on your health, on your purpose, on your legacy, on the mission that God has given you. And I want to tell you, saints, without change, you'll never figure out who you're supposed to be. Change is the catalyst that pushes you towards your purpose. We all need to adapt to this new normal. You see, I just want to give some folks on this Easter Sunday a reality check that may still be wanting to go back to the way that things were. Because if you are, you may be living in denial. You got to embrace the new normal, because as believers, we cannot go back. We got to continue to move forward. And I want to talk about Thomas, because if there was anybody in the Bible that I felt was living in denial, I would say that it was Thomas. Thomas, his name, he also had another name, was Didymus. And Didymus means twin. The reason that he's called twin is because when you look at Thomas and when you read about Thomas in the Bible, you need to see him as your twin. You need to see Thomas as a mirror. He is the twin of all humanity. And there's characteristics and things about Thomas that we need to look at, and we need to see them in ourselves, and we need to make adjustments. That's the beautiful thing about having a mirror. When you look at it, it forces you to make adjustments. See, instead of embracing change, Thomas doubted that the change had come. And that looks like so many of us. Instead of embracing what God wants to do for us in this time, we doubt and we want to go back to where we've been. We long for things to be the way they were. Don't let who God has called you to be to die because you're waiting for things to get back to normal. Let's learn how to adapt to the new normal. So how do we do that? Let's follow the path of Thomas as we read in God's word. John 20, 24 through 25 says, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. I want you to catch that. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." See, Thomas, he gets this rap all throughout humanity as if he was a doubter. We call him, I heard it as a little boy in Sunday school, they called him Doubting Thomas. Thomas is only guilty of doubting because Thomas missed the meeting. If any one of those disciples did not show up to that place when Jesus had popped in on them, they would have doubted as well, but Thomas gets this bad rap. So we got to give Thomas a break, because I couldn't imagine myself in that space. If everybody told me a dead man came back to life and I didn't see it with my own eyes, I probably wouldn't believe it either. And we'd be calling this story Doubting Terrence instead of Doubting Thomas. The only thing Thomas is guilty of is missing the meeting, because when Jesus died, something in Thomas dies as well. And it leads me to believe that we all have this in us. We all have this thing in us that when we miss something, we want to downplay the thing that we've missed. You ever like heard about a really dope party, like a party that everybody was at? It was the event of the year. It was the gathering of the lifetime. And for whatever reason, you just didn't show up. I don't know. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you had better things to do. Maybe you were working. Something happened, but you missed this event and everybody was there. You know what the worst thing about that is? When you have to hear about it after. Everybody start calling you. Yo, T, where you was at? Yo, we missed you. Yo, we was turning up, we was cutting up. That party was lit, was making it. Like, everybody is going crazy telling you about this thing that you couldn't see or be at for yourself. And you know what you do? we do what everybody else does, because we all petty. We start hating. Man, that man, please, I'm sure it was all right, but I'm sure it wasn't all that. Like, we hate because we wish we were there and we weren't there, and we hate because we just wanted to be there so bad. So you know what we do so we don't feel bad ourselves? We start to downplay. We start to, I could imagine Thomas walking into this room. These disciples, Thomas, don't look so mad. We just saw Jesus. Nah, man, please, you lying. I saw, he died. He's in the grave. Like, what are you talking about? Now, Thomas, we was all here. We was hiding out, and we ain't even opened the door. And Jesus just popped in. Oh, so y'all seeing ghosts now? Oh, y'all. I know it was Peter. Peter brought the wine in. Y'all was on that Jesus juice, and now y'all making up stories to make me feel bad. Like I should have been here. Y'all trying to make me feel bad because I missed it. No, man, I'm telling you, Jesus was here. But Thomas doesn't hear that. He doubts. He doubts because he wasn't there to see for himself. So while he's doubting, he's downplaying the fact that Jesus is alive. If he could have just had enough faith to believe that Jesus was still alive, he wouldn't have downplayed Jesus. I know we give Thomas a bad rap, but if we could really think about it, like, how many people do we know that don't want to accept Jesus is alive, so they downplay who he is? This happens all the time. I'm a pastor, so I love telling people about Jesus, and people may respect my excitement for Jesus, but there's still a lot of people that I give the good news to that don't believe he's alive. They try to downplay who Jesus is. Just because, I just want somebody to hear me today. Just because you may not want to face the reality, don't downplay the reality that my Savior Jesus is alive. We are living in a time right now, and if you can't see Jesus, I actually feel bad for you, because he's the only way out of this time that we're living in. You can listen to CNN, ABC, NBC, the CDC, but they will never give you the truth of the Bible, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the only thing that's going to flatten the curve and get us out of this pandemic that we are living in. So I don't feed my life with fear. I fuel my life with faith, because I don't got to see Jesus to know that he's here. Got to understand, we're living in times that we need Jesus now more than ever. So I'm not going to accept when people downplay who he is, because I know that Jesus is the only way out of this mess. You see, when you're going through pain, don't downplay Jesus. Don't push yourself away from Jesus. So many people are in pain and they run from Jesus when they need to run to Jesus. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us, I love this, encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We as believers cannot miss the gathering, because when you miss the gathering, you miss out on encouragement. You miss out on blessing. And now more so than ever, you say, I'm missing out on the gathering because of social distancing. Listen, you need to social distance, but you don't need to spiritually distance. Just because we can't physically be in the same place doesn't mean that we cannot be together. Now we need to go back and do what the Acts Church tells us and be together in heart, in mind, in spirit. Not forsaking the gathering doesn't necessarily mean physically being in the same location. Just because we may not be present in the physical does not mean that we need to be absent in the spiritual. I love what God has done in this world right now. He's done us all a favor by eliminating all the reasons that we are not in his presence. The world has slowed down so that we don't make the mistake that Thomas had, so that we don't miss the meeting. I don't ever want to be moving so fast, and I don't want to have doubt in my spirit so that I miss when Jesus shows up. Now that the world is slowed down, I take more time to pray. I take more time to stay in my word so that I don't miss an encounter with God. But Thomas didn't want to hear that. So what did he do? Thomas tests God. Look at what it says in John 20, 25. It says, but he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my finger where the nail is and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas heard the testimony. Get this now. Thomas heard the testimony of at minimum at least 10 other disciples. OK, he hears their testimony. Men that have walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, who have been friends, who have been comrades, and he still does not believe. He says, I need to see the nail scar hands. I need to put my finger in the scars for me to believe. Once again, we can all knock Thomas, but we're just as bad. This virus is literally a killer all over the world right now. And it's an enemy that we cannot see. And it has taken our family and our friends from us. And it's been so unexpected. And it's been so hard to process. And with that being said, with the numbers rattling across the screens daily, do you know there are still people out there that don't take any of this seriously? It can't happen to me. I'ma just keep doing my thing. Like with everything that we've seen up until this point, there are still people that do not believe. And it's selfish, but you know what I found? That we're just like Thomas. See, most people don't believe it until it happens to them. Most people don't believe until it happens to them. But this is why I love the power of a testimony, because testimonies prevent you from taking a test. You see, it's funny. Most people don't believe in God until they are the center of a miracle. It's just a reality. People don't believe until they are the center of a miracle. And the funny thing is, this is what people forget. Everybody wants to be the center of the miracle, but in order for you to be the center of the miracle, you have to be at the center of the trial. This is the part that people leave out. They want the promise, but they don't want the persecution. They want the miracle, but they don't want the mess. They want the prosperity. They don't want the pain. They want the healing, but they don't want the hurt. Everybody wants to be in the middle of the miracle, but you cannot have a miracle without a prior mess, because God has to deliver you from something. He has to make a way where there is no way. It's not a miracle if you could do it. It's only a miracle if God pulls you out of something you could not get yourself out of. You see, I don't want to be so caught up on what God is doing for somebody else and jealous of that, because I don't know what that person had to go through in order to receive that miracle. We want to be as blessed as others, but don't want to have to been saved from the same stuff. Like, do you want to have been saved from a drug addiction? Do you want to have been set free from abuse? Do you want to have been saved from prison? Or can you just be content with the fact that God did not have to pull you through the fire to fuel your faith? Can you be content with that? Or do you have to see other scars in order to see the Savior? Because here's the reality, man. It's in the things that you did not feel that you should be able to see Jesus. Thank God. So far, I have not personally had to see this virus and I have been healthy. Thank God you never had to see cancer. Thank God you never had to see drugs. Thank God you never had to see homelessness. Thank God you never had to be in an abusive relationship. Thank God your marriage was never falling apart. People saying, I ain't seen much, but here's the reality. It doesn't matter, because you're right. I ain't seen much, but I've seen Jesus, and that's enough. I don't have to go through the pain in order to know that there's a promise on the other side. Thank God that you never had to experience what somebody else had to experience. You see, I love Jesus because he experienced the pain that none of us ever experienced, while at the same time giving us access to this miracle called eternal life. The new normal for me is I don't have to see it like somebody to feel it and believe it for myself, because I got faith that Jesus is who he says he is. That's why the Bible says things like we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But the testimony wasn't enough for Thomas. Thomas tests God, and as he sets out to test Jesus, something happens. Thomas gets tested. Listen to me, family. The test taker can't test the test maker. The test taker can never test the test maker. Look at what the Bible says here. I love this. John 20, 26 and 27. It says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. I love that, because you can shut the door on Jesus and he can still show up. I want somebody to hear me. Our God will stop at nothing to be with you. He knows you're hurting. He knows your pain. A locked door is no match for a Savior that says, I stand at the door and knock. And he's only knocking because he's polite. But let me tell you something. When you cry out in desperation, when you cry out in pain, our God cannot hear a pain and cannot hear sorrow and not show up. It is not till the disciples cry out in sorrow that Jesus comes to their rescue. And I want you to understand that he will do the same thing for you today. Your situation, your locked up life is no match for a God that can walk through the walls of your life. If you believe it, say amen. But I love it because it continues to go on. Look at verse 27. Oh man, this is the fun part right here. It says, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. I love this. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus burst into this situation. He flips the tables on Thomas real fast. He doesn't even let him speak. He's like, shh, hey, shh. Like just put his finger right. Shh, don't say nothing. Give me your hand. Put it right here. You see this? Put it right here. You see this? I want you to put it right here. See. Some of us, I love this. Some of us want to go back to the way things were. But Jesus, I want you to see this. He burst in on Thomas. We want to go back to the way things were. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't even come back the same. You want to be the same after this? But Jesus himself models that we should never come back from a situation the same way that we did before we left. Jesus, he is God. And this is why I'm not God, because if I was God and I was going to resurrect myself, I'd have come back perfect. I mean, I would have been perfect. There would have been no scars. There would have been no bruises. Jesus is God, the creator of all the universe. He is redemption before creation. He resurrects from the grave. He is love itself. He comes back and he keeps his scars. I say, God, why would Jesus not come back perfect like that? Like he should come back in all of his glory and all of his power, and he should be perfect. Why does Jesus come back with his scars? I find it amazing that Jesus is perfect, but still willing to hold on to the scars that we gave him. You see, when Thomas looks into the face of Jesus, I could imagine he looked in his eyes and he saw perfection. But Jesus then directs him from his face to his hands. He says, look here. He looked in his eyes and saw perfection. He looked in his hands and he saw himself. Why? Because he saw the scars that we were all responsible in giving Jesus. You cannot look upon the face of Jesus and not see perfection, but there is no way that you should look upon his scars and not see yourself. Jesus is showing you that he was willing to keep your pain so that you wouldn't have to hold on to it. He wanted to keep your sin because he knew it would be the thing that would keep you out of heaven. And he wants to show Thomas, don't just see my perfection. See what your sin has caused me. And know that the only reason I'm holding on to it is so that you can hold on to the promise of heaven. This is the gospel, my friends. It's so beautiful. Because in looking at the face of Jesus, we should always know that he is perfect, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But when we think about those nail-scarred hands and feet in that pierced side, we need to remember the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make for us. And I believe in that moment when he saw those scars, right then, doubting Thomas was able to adapt to a new normal. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me in John 20:28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." It is in that moment where he says, "My Lord and my God." I know that Thomas has adapted to the new normal because in a moment, he does not just call Jesus Lord. He had called him Lord before. He was used to saying that. But this is the first time that Thomas calls him God. Who is a Lord? A Lord is a person in authority, a master of something. But God is a supreme being, the creator and master of the universe. It was something for Thomas to call Jesus Lord, but I know that he was adapting to the new normal of a resurrected Savior when he took a moment to say, "My Lord, my God." You see, we all need to understand that Jesus is not just Lord. There's a lot of people that are comfortable with him being Lord, but I know that you've adapted to the new normal when he's not just the Lord of your life. He is the God of your life. He's not just the Lord, a person in authority. He is God, the supreme being, the creator of the universe, the one that breathed stars into existence, that created atoms, molecules, elements, compounds, the same one that has created all matter on this planet and every other planet beyond. It is the same God that created the human body from the dust, and he has given us organs called eyeballs that are the most complex thing on the planet. Along with that, he's given you a number of hairs on your head that no one can count but him. He put 206 bones in your body, 54 of which are in your hand, so you could take what's in your hand, connect it with what's in your heart, and you can live out the purpose that he has created for you. If you leave this crisis the same way, then you have not taken time to acknowledge that Jesus is not just Lord, he is God, and he created you for a purpose in the time that we are living in right now. Saints, I want you to hear me. Everybody within the sound of my voice, until you adjust to this new normal of the resurrected Savior, you will always live life wanting to go back to the way that things were. And because Jesus lives, I could face tomorrow like the old saints used to say. Because he lives, I'm not scared of the new normal. I thrive in it. You see, you can't live in this new normal without Jesus. I close with this. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I'm trying to avoid public places as much as I can, but I had to get some groceries for my family. So I took all the proper precautions. I put on my gloves. I put on my mask, and as I was leaving the store, trying to operate in social distancing, but you know, I'm still a Christian, man. I want to be courteous and I want to be kind. So as I saw some people walking in the door, I stepped back to allow them to walk through the door before I exited. And as I was about to walk out, the gentleman looked at me and said, "Hey, you know that mask won't help you, right?" And I was just like, well, I don't remember really asking for your opinion, but I didn't say that to him because I'm a man of God. So I said, "All right, man, whatever." And he just kept walking and kind of mocking me as I walked out the door, but I wanted to keep peace, so I didn't respond. But I thought in my head, I thought, well, you know, this mask, it may not help me, but I'd rather walk around with the mask then walk around without one, realizing later that I actually needed it the whole time. And this is the picture of humanity. There's so many people that say, Jesus, you don't need that. My response is this: I'd rather live with Jesus than to live without him and realize later I needed him the whole time. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm not just talking about a man that walked the earth. I'm talking about the one who was all man, who was all God. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not here to grant your wishes. This is the God, the one that I serve, that brings dead things back to life. Maybe your hope has died. Maybe you felt some loss. Maybe a family member has died. Listen, your soul doesn't have to die too. We serve the God that brings dead things back to life. And we celebrate on this Easter Sunday because Jesus lives. See, maybe you've been living in your old normal for a long time, but you could accept Jesus Christ in your life today and you can adapt to the new normal of a life of freedom, a life of purpose, a life of living for a resurrected Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to make this call. I want to make it simple and I want to make it clear. On this Easter Sunday where we celebrate a Savior who lives, maybe you've been swallowed up by your grief. Maybe you've been swallowed up by your fear. Maybe you just want things to go back to the way that they were. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want you to go back to the way that you were. He wants you to move forward. He wants you to adopt a new normal. And the only way you're going to adapt to the new normal is through a life in Jesus. Because our God gives us life and life more abundantly. So on the count of three, if you want to receive today Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. You're a new creation. You're new. You don't have to keep trying to be old. You can walk in the newness of a life with Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, say, I want Jesus today. I don't want to look back. I want to move forward. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to operate in fear. I want to live in faith. I want to move forward. I want Jesus in my life. If that's you, on the count of three, wherever you are, maybe people looking at you, maybe you're by yourself, man, just raise your hand. I won't see it, but guess what? God will. God will see it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Just let God see. He sees you if your hand's up or not. I want you to just acknowledge, be able to acknowledge in your heart that you need Jesus. God sees it. I know there's somebody in the sound of my voice has made that decision today. And if you have, I want everybody, saved or not saved, say this prayer with me. We do it as a prayer of faith because we got to make that confession. So everybody, just pray with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness, to take the place of my sin. I ask that you would accept me into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Family, I'm so proud of you. If you made that decision today, you are a new creation. If you're watching me all over, there's a button that you can click. There'll even be something on the bottom of my screen that gives you more information on what to do if you made that decision for Jesus. If you made that decision, we want to connect with you. We want to pray with you, but make sure you're following all those protocols so that we can connect and celebrate you. I always say this, man, whether we're together or not, like I said, the Bible says when one comes back, there's a celebration in heaven. I can't open up a ceiling and show you, and I'm not standing around you, so it's going to be hard for me to help you hear it, but Saints Cool Church, you know this is what we do. We want to celebrate. We want everybody to know that Jesus is Lord. So right now, start getting all the hearts going. Come on, get those hearts going. Get those claps going. Start hitting those buttons. Hit it. And right now, I'm going to actually physically scream on this camera. We're going to scream because we celebrate you. So on the count of three, here we go, Saints. 1, 2, 3, go. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for all those that made that decision. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We are so thankful for this day. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for people accepting a new normal in Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, saints, I love y'all so much. Cool family, I miss you more than you know. Thank you for celebrating with us on Easter Sunday. I pray that the rest of your day is going to be the best of your day. And just keep on tuning in. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I know our God is with us and he will not forsake us. Stretch towards me. Let me bless you before you go. Father God, I thank you for the greatest people in all the world, the people of Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in, and they're laboring in their leisure. God, surround them with your presence. And God, I pray that this week of their life will be the best week of their life. And God, I pray for the expedited end of this pandemic in the name of Jesus. Cover all my brothers and sisters from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, church, I love you. If nobody's told you, but more than that, God loves you. Happy Easter. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.